Greetings and welcome to another episode of the CAG Podcast. I am Kur of the House of Lunkij, commander of the Dark Moon Fleet. With me tonight are my two co-hosts.
I am Jorn of House Vampyr, the XO of Phoenix Rising.
I am Javon of the House Dongying, Shonche, CEO of the Crimson Fury.
So just before we get started, I just want to tell you that that opening is a lie. Unfortunately, Kurt could not make it with us tonight. We had some difficulties the first time we went to record, and the second time we got together, he just wasn't available like we hoped. That being said, he's the one who usually does a recording, and he definitely does a better job than I do, so I'd like to apologize right now about the recording quality. And on top of that, my mic was running the whole time, which I was not aware of, so you could hear Dax and Miley, my dogs, in the background making a ruckus. And you can hear my chair creaking every once in a while, and you can hear me giggling to myself. I think I got most of the giggling, to be fair. So I'd like to just apologize for the sound quality. You might have to turn it up to more than you used to hear it all. But stick around afterwards for a few more notes, and I hope you enjoy our episode on ship activities, which will be very relevant with the upcoming premiere of Star Trek Discovery. Enjoy!
Well, hello. Tonight's CAG podcast is going to be on things that you can do as part of a Klingon ship. Tonight we have a special guest, the Marine Commandant of the Klingon Assault Group. Please introduce yourself, sir.
My name is Marvin Dotson. I go by Brigadier Marcus. I've been in CAG for 20 years. Started, honestly, I just happened to come across the Klingon group online. I was in college at the time. Just happened to see something about Klingon TV. And clicked on the link, and it actually took me to CAG, and been a CAG member ever since.
What do you like best about being in CAG and doing things with CAG?
Well, when I first started out, had Admiral Bear that was here in the Kansas City area. There was a large group of Klingons, and one, the costuming, which I'm not the world's greatest sewer by any means, any stretch of the, but I try. But I love costuming and the attention that Klingons get when we walk down the halls of cons or into a movie theater. You know, I'm a rather large fellow, so it's not like I don't get looks anyway, but when you happen to throw the ridges on and the uniform, you know, people tend to sort of step out of your way rather quick. But there's a great group of people everywhere I've gone in CAG, whenever there's a con or even a camp out. When you meet fellow CAG members, you're meeting basically family. They make you feel welcome, no matter if you're from their area or not.
And keeping with that family idea, one of the things you mentioned is you're not a great sewer. But that doesn't mean you can't get a great costume, because you've got other people who are good sewers, and you can bring something to the table that they can't do while they're bringing something to the table that you're not really good at. And you can learn.
Very true. Very true. I just don't have the patience for sewing machines.
So what type of activities, because you're from the Midwest and the Kansas City area. What type of activities do you do in that area?
I know we do a food drive twice a year. We've been doing Adopt a Family, and basically we go through local food pantries that know people that need a little extra help. So we normally adopt a family during Thanksgiving and Christmas and basically give them all the trimmings for a turkey dinner, and then also try to get some toys and some extra stuff, you know, for the kids and family members, even, you know, some clothing and, like I said, toys to at least help out. And normally we also do a small gift card, so if there's anything they actually need beyond what we give them, they're able to go out and get themselves. We do a lot of movie premieres. We've been working in Ottawa, Kansas, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away from the Kansas City area. They are trying to get a con together. It's a college town, small town feel to it, but their Chamber of Commerce and culture arts area is actually trying to create a con where they actually do, they have a big building that they do all, they decorate and usually hold, basically it's hey, John just threw greetings out, so just a second here.
I see that our second special guest for this evening, Lord Vampyr, has clicked into our discussion. John, would you care to introduce yourself?
All right. Looks like he's having some technical problems. But like I was saying, it is an art extensive gallery that they hold for 6 weeks, Friday, Saturday, and I believe Sundays, through the beginning of April through towards the end of May. And they have the sci-fi portion of it, and they've had us down 2 years in a row. And this year we were actually invited to come and march in their Christmas parade by their local street merchant society they have there as well.
It looks like our second special guest has gotten his technical difficulties resolved. So, Lord Vampire, would you care to introduce yourself?
Greetings all, this is Lord Vampire. I'm here in Denver and looking forward to answering questions.
Well, right now we're talking about this whole podcast about ships activities, and we're talking about events that you do in your area.
Well, our next event is going to be an invasion of Empire Colorado, take over the Empire.
How would you go about doing
that? You talk to the mayor, and then talk to a restaurant. Basically, it's going to be a good day to dine, is what we're going to make it out to be. So it'll be a lot of fun. So far, we've got about 20 members going up.
And a good day to dine would be?
September 9th.
Looking more of a explanation of what the activity is for those people that might want to try and recreate it.
Oh, I see. Well, basically, we find a restaurant in a town, and we go in there, and sometimes we scout it, like I did this one, and talk to the owner, and told him, hey, we're going to have a bunch of Klingons and gear coming up here, and we're going to enjoy ourselves and take over your place.
Now, we tried something similar in the Omaha area, and when we associated with a convention, we had lots of people participating, and the restaurant really liked us being there. When we didn't have it associated with the convention, we had a handful, but the restaurant still liked having us being there. Do you find that to be the same thing?
Absolutely. Yep.
Marvin, do you find that in Kansas City also?
We also find that in the Kansas City area. The thing that we try to do, though, is we do let them know that we're coming, that we're going to be in costume, and that we will not have any weapons with us. We've had a few restaurants that they're not all that hip on the idea of someone coming in with, you know, mask type, but normally we go in, and I've met with several restaurant owners, and, you know, they've got their issues with masks, and it's like, well, this isn't a mask, it's just a little headpiece that goes on. And I go, and a lot of times we won't even come in with those on, we'll come in TSO outfits, so that way it's not as cumbersome and not as invasive for them. But we've shown up at IHOP at 11 o'clock at night, had a wedding party that came in after, and all we could do was just take pictures the whole night. But most of the restaurant staff, they enjoy it. It's something that gives them a little bit of fun at work as well.
The key point here is talk to the restaurant before you have the activity. Let them know what's coming. Typically, they will be tickled to have it happen, but they need to know what's going to go down. Not be surprised.
Yes, that's absolutely true. You definitely need to contact them before you do it.
So what are you, movie openings? You guys both talked about movie openings. What do you do on those?
Well, with movie openings, a lot of times we will go and be ushers or stand out in the foyer, you know, helping people find where they're going or what, you know, we'll even actually look at their tickets and tell them where to go. And most of the movie theaters here in the Kansas City area love to have the extra help. You know, they still have their personal that's there, but normally they just hand the ticket over to us, and then we can tell them, oh, you're in movie theater, you know, that way. So that's a lot of what we do. But showing up in costume, once again, a lot of times they don't like us with our ridges on, because they're with everything that's gone on here in the past with, you know, the shootings at the movie theaters and different things. So TSO a lot of time is the better way to go. And the older generation obviously understands the TSO outfits. The newer generation don't always recognize what you are. And then even Star Trek openings, you know, Star Wars openings, we'll even actually dress semi-like Jedi. So it's just costuming and helping theaters.
If you can get if you get the opportunity to get in with a particular theater and do this over and over again, and you talk to their management, and you work with their management, you might get more and more bennies, more and more perks, more and more. They'll be less reticent about the headpieces because they know you.
We do have a theater that we do. It's a smaller theater in North Kansas City. It's Armor Theater, and it's one they've gone back in and refurbished, and, you know, it's got the old theater feel to it, but of course they've got the stadium seating, and we've worked with them quite a bit, and we're also in the process of setting up our Star Trek Discovery preview, I'm having having a brain fart here.
Premier?
Thank you. Premier, that's what I was looking for. Having our premier there and inviting the other Starfleet groups that are around and other Klingons that are actually in the Kansas City area.
Now, I've been to theaters where they've just played, like, mostly just Doctor Who episodes. They'll play the premiere or the finale. What's involved in setting up a premiere of your own?
Well, one, the girlfriend of the owner of the theater is a big Trekkie. So, honestly, we started going to this theater whenever Star Trek, what was it? Wasn't the first one, it was the second one, Into Darkness, came out. Got to be good friends with her and her husband, and to be honest, just said, hey, what do you think about Sunday the 24th, you know, doing a premiere of Discovery? And that was all it took. What they did is, you know, let us invite people and basically we'll pay for our seat and any refreshments.
Normally when we do stuff, we do it with, we're tied to several conventions here. So normally we get invited by them to go out and do a little advertising for them and also get to see the movie. So
you guys ever done anything on pre-comic books day with one of the comic book shops in town?
I know our squad has, but as far as me personally, no, I have not. Normally, whenever this happens on a Saturday, I normally am scheduled to work.
Yeah, we haven't been able to do that as well. We're trying to get something together. Our local comic megastore here, Mile High Comic, does a poker tournament about once a month. So I've been trying to get a hold of the owner there so that we can come in and kind of invade that for once. And normally it's a $25 buy-in, and that money is donated to a charity. So it's for a good cause.
What other charities do you do in the area?
Some of the charities that we personally donate to are Make-A-Wish, the MDA. We donate to our local zoo, and then the other one, St. Jude. Those are the four main ones.
You know, we also donate to St. Jude, and I'd have to get with our Squadron XO because we do help out with Goodwill Industries, which is actually people that have handicapped mentally and physically, and also work with the VA, the Veterans Affairs here in the Kansas City area.
When you say donate, are you fundraising or just as a group coming up with a pool of money and donating, or pool of items and donating?
Well, we fundraise, and then we also go in. A lot of times it's just dedicating our time to go in and see if it's older veterans or even veterans that, you know, our newer generation of veterans that are in the hospital. You know, something just to sort of cheer them up and let them know that we care.
For us, it's about the same. We do fundraising. At one of the conventions we had, I made up a bunch of guitar batlas, and one of those sold for $600, which we donated to the Wounded Warriors.
That's one heck of a guitar.
Yeah, it was signed by Gowron and Martok, so it was pretty cool.
Have you guys ever worked with parades or marathons in your area?
Definitely not marathons.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead, John.
We have some members that do marathons. We have done one parade here. We did the St. Patrick's Day parade once, but that's about it.
Here in Kansas City area, we've done Independence Halloween Parade, and then also threw out candy to the kids and did the treats in the trunk. Basically have cars set up and just hand out candy out of the cars in the church parking lot. And then, like I said, this year we're going to be doing the Christmas parade in Ottawa, Kansas. We were invited to participate through what we've done in Ottawa so far.
On the parade front, I know Captain Japaw has talked about this type of float that he has done in the past at parade, which basically involves five Klingon crew members, four of which holding caution tape in a big square, and the fifth one walking ahead of them, announcing that they're escorting a cloaked bird of prey.
That sounds like a good idea.
Leave it to JP to come up with some really good ideas.
Oh, he does. He comes up with some great ideas.
Well, let's move on to conventions then. What conventions do you guys do? I know, Lord Vampire, you've got Starfest in your area, which you have a big presence at. Marty, what do you have in the Kansas City area that you're doing recently?
Conquest is the one that we normally do, which is Memorial Day weekend. We normally hold a party room both Friday and Saturday nights. We also do Contra, which is November 9th, 10th, and 11th, 10th, 11th, and 12th this year, which is a more of an adult sci-fi convention. They keep moving hotels, but we're back at the Adams Mark this year. But it's, like I said, it's more adult themed sci-fi.
Lord Vampire, what do you kind of do at say, Starfest? Are any of the other ones in there?
So Starfest, we have a full weekend of Klingon programming. We normally start around noon or 1 o'clock on Friday, and we run till 5 on Sunday with panels that teach anything from Klingon language to Klingon battle tactics, Klingon culture. Sunday is normally our kids' day. We have a lot of kid-friendly events, building ships out of, you know, just stuff, coloring, you know, just like a science kind of a lab thing. Saturday, we normally do some sort of Klingon Batless training. This year we did a Hungry Hungry Tribble thing. Tasty Tasty Tribbles is what we called it. It was basically a Hungry Hungry Hippo game, full size with human beings. So it turned out to be really fun.
How did the logistics of that pan out?
That was a fun. I was wondering if you could ask that. It was very fun. Each ship, so we have 6 or 7 ships here in the Denver area. Each ship was tasked with making 50 tribbles, and we had various colored tribbles. It was amazing. We had probably well over 600 tribbles when we were done. So,
if somebody were going to try and recreate that activity, what would you suggest they do, or would you suggest they don't?
Well, you would have to have a lot of people. You know, we have, our group here is over 100 people, many of which are very active. So if you're going to do that, you need a lot of people to be able to sew up all those triples. I made the carts that the people rode on, and that wasn't too bad. I just went to Harbor Freight, picked up a couple of dollies, and then added some foam, and I covered it with fake fur. And those turned out to be, you know, the dollies that we used. And then we just used ballast, those foam ballast, to scoop the tribbles out. So the main thing was making all the tribbles. That was the coordination and logistics of that was pretty intense sometimes.
For something a little bit easier, we did tribbles for our wedding to throw at us when we walked down the aisle and stuff, like rice or something. And all we did was make just oversized yarn pom-poms.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I know in the Omaha area, well, we put together about 50 or more tribbles for a event at Ozfest 1 year where we did the Great Tribble Hunt, where we hid around a room. They have a combat room there for Nerf type combat things. So we hid the tribbles around the room, let the kids in, and said, okay, find the tribbles and then throw them at each other. And the person with the most tribbles at the end loses.
That, and you can also do tribble croquet. So make a croquet, and you can actually use star foam as far as the croquet mallet itself, and then just hit the tribbles throughout. I mean, this is something that's safe that you can hit into crowds. I know at Ozfest we use actual croquet and just put the fur wrap around balls, so it was a little more risky, but my XO's actually made a croquet set and then the soft tribbles, and you can head into crowds. People sort of jump around a little bit until they see what's going on, and it's a lot of fun.
Especially if you can get those soft tribbles. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's and we've got a seamstress here that loves to make tribbles, and like John said, of all colors, and even one that's a cow motif.
Yeah, I know. You did that one for Conquest. What other type of stuff do you do? We talked some on the panels, but most of the panels that we've talked about have been the talking head type things. Excuse me. We talked about a few activities, mostly around tribbles. Are there any other type of activities you can do at convention?
Well, mainly what we do some gaming. On Friday, we do a naming panel, Klingon naming panel. I created, with the assistance of a man named Scott, an app that basically creates Klingon names. So Friday, normally that's one of our first panels. And normally it's a fairly well attended one. We normally have 20 to 30 people come in and get their Klingon name.
We did something similar at the Omaha conventions in that we did a paint and take. I've got a very small Klingon trifoil that I can cast in resin over and over and over again. I have 50 or more of these things that we'll give to people and have a series of paints out. They'll paint them up. You glue a thumbtack to the back of them with a piece of cork on the thumbtack, and now you have a lapel pin.
That's a good idea. Also do prop, you know, a lot of household, you know, things that you have around the household. A lot of people have the canisters they put in for the rooms to smell good. But if you notice on some of them, and I don't know the brand, I want to say it's Airwick, it actually looks more like a rifling on the top of the canister. Take it off, you stick it into the thing that disperses the fragrance, and you can actually strip up, once you've used it, it's an empty can, put the top back on, you can paint the can part itself and even the top, and it almost looks like 40 Mike Mike grenade that you may be able to stick into a weapon and launch. So, you know, it's just taking stuff around the house that's everyday items, even water bottles that almost look like a rocket, you know, basically just creating Klingon style weapons out of household items.
And I've done several things like Klingon handcuffs. I just did an instructable on the Kalis prayer box, meditation box. So I just posted that on instructables. It became a featured instructable for a while. So it was pretty cool. But we do all kinds of other things.
Yeah, and I've seen the handcuffs that John's done, and they are great. So he does a good job.
I appreciate that.
Not a problem.
So one of the things you're saying might be popular at convention is showing off the props that you make, talking to people about how to make them, and have various easy-to-make items, whether they're household items or some other way it can be done very cheaply, something that they can take with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done several prop panels at these conventions where I've actually done the mixing of the resin and poured it and let it harden. And normally, because it hardens normally in about 5-10 minutes, and then have them paint it and take it with them, just like you have done in the past.
Yeah, some of this resin castings can be done very, very, very quickly, and people are surprised how easy the process is. What type of parties have you guys done at conventions? Marvin, I know you're famous for your parties down in the Kansas City area.
I wouldn't say famous, but one, we like to entertain. You know, we'll do a black light party on usually Saturday night. Friday nights is usually a red alert party, which normally we have food, barbecue, since it is Kansas City. And then, obviously, blood wine. And normally we have a pretty well-stocked bar. But, like I said, my first officer loves to do Klingon arm wrestling. Yeah, we have a lot of different things that we do. And, I mean, we make sure it's very interactive for anyone that comes in. And, one, it's all about lighting. It's all about pictures, you know, making, you know, basically turn them into an actual party atmosphere. And it even goes down to music. And to be honest, we do a lot of the music that we use is more Viking style music. And then YouTube's also a great resource of pulling Klingon music out as well.
Yeah, there's going to be more and more Klingon music being recorded these days.
There's you know, you've got the Klingon pop star, which she's done a wonderful job of. I've been to a couple of different conventions with her, and she does a wonderful job. But yeah, there's a lot of music choices out there, and all you gotta do is just be able to find them, and hopefully the hotel that you have has decent internet, or you've got a good internet plan on your phone.
Yeah, we were honored to have her out here to Denver a couple of years ago, so that was nice to have her out. It was one of our more well-attended panels.
Oh yeah, and she puts on a good show.
And it's also a community-driven project in that GenBom does all of her stuff, I think, through Kickstarter, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
But another group that's out there is El Troubadour, which is recording Klingon-type music.
I've never had them out, and I haven't really been too familiar with them. I think I've heard them once or twice. I think I might have to try to get them out here.
I ran into them once when I went to Starbase Indy a few years back. What makes parties special in Denver, John?
They're big. We had one party where we had well over 300 people. A line out the door, down the hallway, down the elevator, down the hallway. Literally, it was so big the hotel staff asked us to close it early. And nobody was happy with that. But yeah, our parties are mainly just, we invite a lot of people because our group is so big now, and we try to get as many guests as we can to join us. But again, like Marty was saying, we have blood wine and a full bar, and we have people bring food and music, and, you know, basically a nice party to go to. So, and we also, because in the past we had people try to get in who were underage, we now ID everyone before they get in so that we don't have any issues with that anymore.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. I mean, one, you always have to have that door dragon to keep the younger ones out, or even some that may have partaken in way too many spirits.
Absolutely.
You both mentioned blood wine at your parties. Do you guys want to talk about your individual recipes for blood wine?
Those are house secrets that we don't give out.
I can give out part of mine. Basic blood wine that I make. There's a lot stronger version, but the basic version, sangria, southern comfort, cranberry juice, and then cranberries as well. You can play with the recipe and add more to it. I know there's a lot of blood wine recipes out there, but this actually is more of a wine base. I mean, it definitely tastes more like a wine, but the Southern Comfort gives it a different flavor.
And for those people who are looking for lots of recipes for Klingon drinks for your parties, Mind Scanner, about 2-3 years ago, had a beverages issue. You can literally get a blood wine that is alcoholic and a totally different one that is non-alcoholic.
Yes.
I've actually created an Android app that is a Klingon Bartender's Guide, and can be downloaded from Google Play, and basically contains, I think, over 100 different drinks, Star Trek-based, with probably 12 different blood wine recipes.
That and about 15 years ago, a bunch of us had gotten together, and there's 50 plus different recipes on how to make blood wine. And then every year you can come across a new one that's out there as well.
Do you guys do display tables or recruitment tables at conventions?
Well, we used to do tables, but now that we do a full weekend of programming, we have our own room. And normally inside that room, we'll set up the Klingon meditation box that I have, along with, this year we had a tribble pool that held all the tribbles that we used for our game. And so people were jumping in that and having their picture taken. So normally we get to decorate an entire room at the convention. And so we don't need to have a table anymore.
Yeah, and we don't use a table in Kansas City either. We just use our Klingon room. I mean, it's the squadron basically purchases the room for the weekend, and everything we do is basically based out of that room. We will have a little floor space down in the convention area, you know, so we can do a jail unveil or something. But as far as a table, no, we don't do it. We usually have business cards and flyers and stuff in the room, and we also post them all over the place, and usually have to go back through the next day and repost them on Saturday and then again on Sunday, so because normally the hotel will pull a lot of stuff that's up down.
Would you guys recommend a table to groups that aren't as affiliated with conventions as you two are?
Oh, absolutely. That's how I started, was with a convention table. I built a weapons rack, a Klingon weapons rack, and I used to take that to conventions and set it up and have a table and have flyers out and get people to join, and then, you know, I'd have a party and more people would join, and that's how you get people to join. You know, it's being active and being visible. Those two things are how you get people to sign up and help you out.
Most definitely. I mean, the tables are great when you're first starting out, but after you're actually been there, you're known, the tables become more of they're more junky than anything. I mean, one, when you do a table, you need to make sure that you don't have a lot of clutter on. You need to set it up. Trying to think, the Cold Blood Quadrant Commander, he's got a few pictures of the table that he sets up, and it's not always manned, but he's actually very eloquent, not a lot to it, but it shows off a lot of what they do.
And a lot of times you can put what you do in the flyers as well. I make little pamphlets that are triple folded, just 8x11 sheets of paper. And in there, we kind of have a little thing of what we've done in the last year and what we're planning to do in the year coming forward. So,
if people are looking for ideas on how to put one of these pamphlets together, there are some promotional material available on the CAG site.
Yes, there is.
Have you guys ever tried doing reenactments of Klingon ceremonies at conventions?
Absolutely. We had we did a wedding 2 years ago where we had honor guard and a whole wedding ceremony. And there's pictures on the House Vampire site of how that went. It was one of well-attended events.
Yeah, we've done a courting ceremony, a Klingon courting ceremony. Of course, the gentleman that did the courting of a young lady that was getting married, his girlfriend didn't appreciate it, but we had a very good crowd, and it's been a few years since we've done something like that. But when you do it, everyone remembers it.
Yeah, we did the Klingon speed dating in Omaha area also, and then we had two tubs of stuffed animals with no hard parts in them, and love poetry for the men to read. Then women would throw the stuffed animals at the men while they were trying to get to the love poetry. The beauty of using stuffed animals was if you have the right type of goodwill in your area, you can buy these guys by the pound.
Yes, definitely.
Any other ceremonies people have tried? Has anybody tried to do a rite of ascension?
It's been a long time ago. I mean, we're talking this was 10, 11 years ago, and it's hard to do if you're trying to send people that don't really understand what's going on, because we were trying to get other people to go through, and us being dressed, you know, we had a couple people that knew what was going on to go through, but really you have to have your own people doing it and people just watching it.
Yeah, we found that to be true too. Again, we did ours, God, it had to be 10, 12 years ago, the same.
Yeah. There was just way too much work and not enough, there was too much to it.
One of the things that I think I'm going to try to do is a Klingon tea ceremony at our next convention. It'll be similar, but, you know, it's going to be basically come have tea with the Klingon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that type of thing. We did trivia, Klingon trivia games, Klingon Jeopardy in the Omaha area, and used the tagline for it, come for the chocolate, stay for the pain. You do a wrong answer, we have a pain stick. Of course, our pain sticks were just the same as JP uses, which are PVC pipe with a joy buzzer on the end.
On the end, yep.
Yeah, I have a electronics technician here who actually made real ones. We had to tune them back, as they say.
You lost too many elephants?
Yeah.
At one time in Omaha, we tried to do a thing called Klingon Iron Chef that we later morphed into Dining on Quonos, where we prepared and served Klingon food to the attending audience. Whatever leftovers we had at the end ended up going to the con suite. You guys ever try something like that?
Can't say that we have.
Yeah, we haven't either.
I mean, like I said, in our party rooms, we usually have barbecue, and, you know, we obviously name the different things, you know, heart of targ and targ balls and stuff like that. As far as anything outside that realm, no, we haven't.
One of the other things that I've tried at conventions is, you know, well, we're getting a little on the chubby side, guys, so maybe we need to start doing some exercises. Sunday mornings, I would do at a couple conventions, mockbara exercises, to try and get the crowd up and moving.
That's actually done that yet, but yeah, that's a great idea.
I just use a few Tai Chi moves, and there you go.
Yeah, I could see that working.
Have you guys ever tried doing some random stuff at conventions, like impromptu readings, death howls, or walk into somebody's room party and let out a Klingon toast?
Or even take over the room party.
There you go.
Yeah, we normally have our own party, so we don't need to do that.
Yeah, sometimes you have too many people in your room and you have to annex someone else's room.
And you don't throw room parties at all the conventions in your area, do you?
Just two of them.
Yeah, pretty much every convention we attend. We just went to Malcon, and we were the only ones that had a party.
Are there any ideas for activities at conventions that you guys have thought of and not had an opportunity to try out?
I'm sure there are. Not coming to mind right now, but John, what about you?
Yeah, I can't think of any right now.
Well, here's one. Making the rubber band shooters, as you know, the Klingon-style rubber band shooters, and actually setting up targets for people to shoot at. We've thought about it. We just haven't. I've made a few. We just haven't had enough to actually hold, you know, put something together so we can actually have people walk by and grab one and try to shoot a target.
What era again do you base it after?
Basically Star Trek III Disruptor.
Oh, okay, cool.
You know, Kurg's Disruptor.
Yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about. I have a
that one's easier because, one, if you put the big nose on there, then it's a little harder to get the rubber band to stay. I mean, I've played with it, and I can't get it to shoot straight.
On something like that, you might talk with Marok in Chicago and see if he could design a wooden one that would actually be set up for that.
That's what I've got is it's a wooden. I mean, I've made three different wooden ones, and I have I can shoot straighter with Kurgs than I can with the beak nose.
That makes sense. Offhand remembering the way it is at the front of Kurgs, it just has that flat piece at the top.
Where exactly.
The TNG one has like a slanted back nose. You would have to put a notch in it for it to be effective at all.
Right. And like I said, I've made two of the Kurg style and then one of the big nose, and I'm a pretty good shot with Kurgs, and I can hit the floor with the big nose.
Is that like a kit you buy to and then modify it, or do you make it all from scratch?
I just make it all from scratch.
Okay,
now we're Klingons. We're at a convention. Do you guys have any interesting stories or interesting techniques on how you go about intimidating fetties?
Well, Kansas City area's got the Sister of Pain. You know, the Sisters of Pain, so we just give them duct tape and let them loose.
I might not have room to bring my Klingon costume to Fan Expo, but I'll definitely have room to just bring a shirt. So I might bring one of my Starfleet shirts so people can have pictures of killing me at the booth.
One of the events we do is the Junior Klingon Batleth Tournament, where we have kids under 12 in a tournament to see who's the winner, who's the best Batleth tournament, or Batleth handler. And those are pretty interesting because by the end of the tournament, all the adults want to get in there and take the Batleths and beat each other up with them.
I saw that's what happened with your tasty Tribbles one. Started out with the kids, ended up with the adults.
Absolutely, yep. Seems like that's with all the cool games we come up with.
What did you use to make the Batleths for the youth, for the kids out of?
It's a foam and duct tape. It's a rigid foam, and then one of our members just took some different colored duct tape and duct taped it up.
Oh, kind of like, what is it called, boffer style or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't stiffen it with anything then, it's just foam.
Yeah, just a foam. Well, it's a very thick foam. It's a very stiff and rigid foam.
But yeah, if you put anything in to stiffen it up, then you run the risk of somebody hitting too hard and somebody getting hurt because it popped through the foam.
Exactly.
Now, one of the things I got from Bill Hedricks, who's current Thought Admiral on conventions, is that if you're at a convention and the convention has a Trek actor at the con, he's giving you permission. You have permission to award them an honorary membership to CAG at any time they're there.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. We tried to do that with Michael Dorn, but we couldn't get everything together in time. So
I know at Treklanta, a couple of groups did it with J.G. Hursler last year.
I was going to say, J.G. and Gowron both in the Kansas City area were made honorary CAG members 15 years ago.
According to Bill, do it every time you see them.
Yeah, one, they enjoy it. So yeah, I'm good with that. That way they get to know the people that's in the town they're at.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. It's probably something we'll be doing going forward.
Did we talk about volunteering to help security at conventions?
Not yet.
Oh yeah, of course. You always got to have Klingon security.
Yeah, we do that at several conventions. We just don't do that at Starfest since we're so busy with our own events and panels.
What does it usually entail then when you're running security?
Security is mainly just making sure that, you know, no one is there that shouldn't be there, and that no one's bringing in any weapons that shouldn't be there, and basically just making sure the con runs smoothly and it's not disrupted by anyone.
Not helping anyone that needs help. People get lost. You know, normally you can find the Klingon in the crowd. So yeah, I mean, one, you're door dragons, you know, monitoring what goes on, and like I said, helping people.
And if you contact the convention committee ahead of time, which is how you would get involved with their security, it's going to get you an in with that convention to do other things that can build to where you're doing the stuff like Lord Vampire is doing with Starfest.
Right. And one, normally, all you got to do is normally do it once, and they'll contact you year after year.
Believe me, they like free labor.
They sure do.
We haven't talked that much. We've mentioned it. We haven't talked that much about jail and bails or other type of fundraising at conventions. Do you guys have some good experiences with the jail and bails or some other type of fundraiser?
We haven't done jail and bails here in town because we had another group that was doing that as a Babylon 5 kind of a group doing it. So we try to coordinate with other groups that are in the area and try not to do the same thing that they're doing because the conflict is not worth it.
Well, I know JP in the Demicon area does a jail and bail each year, and he's fortunate in that he also has the Mandalorian Navy to help him out with the jail and bails. So he's got two sets of characters to draw on. He's got all kinds of arrest warrants and release warrants and bribe warrants and pay scales, along with the fact, since he's been doing it this long, he's been doing it for years now, the convention itself is setting up a jail for which he can spend the Saturday afternoon running his jail and bail. And I think they're running about $600-$700 in donations each year now.
Oh, wow, that's fabulous.
And just simple stuff. I mean, he's got a couple of pain sticks made, like I said, from PVC pipe and joy buzzers. And he's got manacles made from PVC and duct tape or some sort of thing. So yeah, it doesn't take a lot, and you can have a lot of fun doing it. The big thing with him, though, is he keeps a record to give to the person who's been arrested of who filled out the warrant, so that person can take revenge.
That's a great idea.
Just another way to bump up your charity money.
Absolutely.
Did you have any interesting stories about jail and bails?
Well, like Ord D was saying earlier, one, you want to make sure that there's not another jail bail going on in the area. And normally with the con will let you know that if there's a conflict, if someone else is doing one, because they normally just want one, because normally whatever you make, you share the profit with, because one, it's usually for a cause. But we've had some really good years where we've made almost $500 a weekend, you know, basically just over a five-hour period on a Saturday, and then we've had years that we've made $10 over 2 days.
I think
it depends on the crowd that's there. Usually, if it's a new hotel, they'd rather check the hotel out instead of being pinned up for any amount of time. The arrest warrants and making a spectacle of it. You go in and, you know, you don't interrupt anything that's going on that someone's attending, but as they're walking out the door, you happen to grab someone and like I said, you make a big spectacle of it. You read the warrant out in front of as many people as possible, and normally what happens is that person will usually arrest whoever arrested them.
One of the great things about making a spectacle of it is parade the prisoner through the dealer's room or con suite or something. Just, you know, you say, make a spectacle of it.
Normally, our jail and bail is being held in the dealer's room. You know, have a small area that we can actually use. So you get to parade them up and down every single aisle until you actually get to your jail, and you make a big spectacle of when you put them in there as well. We've got a PVC pipe jail that we've actually constructed for it. And like I said, we do that for Conquest. We haven't done it at Contra. Contra actually has a group that comes in and does jail and bail for them. So, you know, we keep out of that arena there. But whenever they arrest us, you know, we also, you know, help make a spectacle of what's going on. One, you got to be able to play with it, you know, ad lib, just enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to make it fun. If you make it fun, then more people want to do it.
Exactly.
You mentioned some cons have other people doing jail and bails. Are there other types of fundraising activities that you have done at conventions, specifically catch conventions, other than jail and bails?
We've done auctions, so we've had people donate different items, and then we auction those off, and then all the proceeds go to whatever charity we decide.
That sell cups that have trifoils on them and donate that to charity of the con. You know, and that goes along with the room parties, but that donate blood wine for their charity auctions, their silent auctions, and just if they need something, books, whatever, for their charity auctions. I mean, you donate what you can, be it a ship, be it a model, be it toys.
Autograph photos
are great. You know, whatever you have, take a little bit of money.
Yeah, you know, if you have leftover props that you've made up and donate those, that's a good one too. I mean, one of the ones, like I say, I made up was those electric guitars that Gowron and Martok used on their Blues Brothers skit they did, and that went for over $600, so. And the guitar didn't even work.
Are there any other activities at conventions you guys want to talk about before we move on to how you organize your activities?
Nothing I can think of.
No.
What do you guys feel about meetings?
We try to have meetings about every 3 months. Normally, we try to have the meetings at the conventions we attend. That way, you know, normally that's where everybody's going to be. And so we have people from, you know, out of town come in. And we can have, the last meeting we had 74 people there. So it lasted a few hours. But, you know, it gives everybody a sense of purpose and a sense of inclusion when you have meetings like that.
Most definitely. I know, like I said, with KC Squadron, we've got 4 ships in the area. We meet once. All 4 ships get together and meet once a month. You know, obviously not everyone meets every month, but it's just a way for us to get together. And then at cons, and like to do promotions at cons, and we like to do those out in the open. So, I mean, we'll have a meeting there and do our promotions or recognitions for people. And then with us, we also do a Christmas party, you know, a short meeting, and then eat, drink, and be merry. And there we do a, you know, who's done the most in in the squadron this year, recognition of who's done what, who's brought in the most recruits, that kind of thing. So, one, the meetings are definitely, I mean, one, especially when you're trying to plan something. You know, you got people that's there, you can actually get people to volunteer to do portions, help bring food, help bring alcohol, you know, help bring props, whatever it is, for a room party, for jail and bail, you know, even the ability to build stuff for the jail and bail or for a room party or to get another activity going and or off the ground.
John, you said you have your meetings mostly at conventions. Marty, where do you usually hold your meetings at?
We have it's an old church that has been turned into a art studio. It's called the Art Asylum, and we actually hold our meetings there once a month. It's a centralized location in Kansas City area. I'm probably the furthest one from it, I make sure it's closer for all of our members, and we meet there. They don't charge us anything. We actually help them quite a bit, so it's a centralized meeting location. And like I said, if we're going to do promotions and stuff, I prefer to do the promotions in front of as many people as possible. So that's when we'll do the biggest portion of our promotions at Conquest.
Okay, but you John, you're having your meetings at conventions, so that's kind of a regular thing. Marty, do you have your meetings on a regular basis?
Yes, we have them once a month. Normally, it's the third Saturday every month. We'll move it around once in a while because of work conflict, but scheduling conflicts. But other than that, we do hold a meeting once a month in the Kansas City area.
Because one of the things that John Halverson, or Chris, as he's known in the Klingon world, was talking about was having your meetings on a regular basis so people can know when they're going to be happening.
Right. They can actually plan and then they can actually attend. It's one, like I said, it's a great, you can do more planning or, you know, you can do the prep work or you can actually assign people, you know, people can volunteer to actually do portions of whatever the activity is. I mean, you can even, you know, meet at the location so you can carpool to wherever you're going.
You can also use a meeting as a opportunity to actually hold a workshop on building these projects, on actually getting people together and actually making the item.
Exactly. I mean, one, you can pull, you know, you've got your members that can bring in artwork or, you know, sit there and create the artwork or the prop or, you know, like I said, assignments of what they're going to bring for the con or for the activity and even plan the activities there at the same time.
One other thing too, since we're such a large group, we have a house council, and the house council meets about every other month to talk about how things are going and what we're going to be doing in the future. And, you know, sometimes we schedule ridge making days where people come in and we mold their foreheads so they can, you know, design ridges so that they have unique ridges for themselves.
So we're looking at another type of activity at meetings as helping people build their Klingon persona, build their Klingon costumes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, definitely. One, you schedule, you know, bring sewing machines in at this next meeting because, you know, we're going to work on, you know, vests, or we're going to work on sashes, or we're going to work on, you know, fixing portions of your costume that don't work.
And those type of activities go fairly well, right?
Yes, they do. Unless you're like me, every once in a while you forget what Saturday it is and you're getting a call saying, hey, we're here, where are you?
Sometimes that can't be helped. We're getting of that age.
I was going to say, sometimes it's just an elderly moment.
Other than uniforms, then, what other type of build workshops, meetings, have you guys participated in, advise, or think about?
We've gotten together and built our jail and bail. We've tried to get together, and the Kilted Klingon, he actually got these great art pieces from Twisty that basically we had them up at, what was it, our 25th anniversary that was in, or maybe it was our 26th anniversary general meeting in Chicago. But one is the landscape or the cityscape of Kronos, and then another one is actually just a planetary system that works wonderful with a black light. We tried to get together and actually do some tapestries where we painted on fabric to sort of replicate what they have, and yeah, that's, it's okay at times. We're partially through one of them.
Yeah, we've done the same thing. We do a prop day, and right now I have a Klingon captain's chair in my garage that I really got to finish because it's taking up a big space in the middle of my garage.
Can you get your cars around it?
Yeah, I have a three-car garage, so it's in one of the other garage, in the third stall. So,
do you guys ever try doing things like building banners at these things, or how do you design your promotional material? Is that just somebody doing it, or you all get together and come up with ideas?
Yeah, we've done a banner. We did a banner day one time. We made a whole bunch of flags, and those are the flags that normally we hand out at conventions and people hang up in their, you know, windows or put out on their balconies. And one of the things that we need to work on this time is some CAG banners that we haven't got any of those.
What do you make those banners out of?
Just material. I mean, just different types of fabric material.
Painted, sewn?
Normally it's just different layers of fabric that we just sew on top. They seem to last longer if you do it in that method.
Yeah, I know. George Whitaker's group down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, that's the method they use, and they've had some pretty nice-looking banners down there.
I know. Typically, that's the way the SCA puts their banners together. They're designed for outside use quite a lot.
Yeah.
Going through some things, I also noticed, John, at one point you were talking about picnics. What do you think of picnics?
We just had one in July, as a matter of fact. That's normally where we have one of our meetings. We have one in April, we have one in July, we have one in October, and then we have one in January. But picnics are great times to have meetings.
Most definitely.
What other type of activities do you do at picnics then, other than just meetings?
Just gaming. A lot of times we just do gaming. But mainly the picnic is just the time to get together and have a meeting and just enjoy each other, so.
Yeah, the camaraderie and just being able to be together, and hopefully it's a nice day.
One of the things the Raptors Heart did in the Omaha area was some of the other conventions would have picnics in addition to their convention for their fans, and we'd coordinate it with the con committee and actually do an invasion of their picnic. So at this point, are there any other activities that ships can think about doing or actually just go ahead and do?
I think we've covered the majority of them. There's always some other thing you can do, like go to the movies or attend. One of the things that we were invited to do was the county fair or the state fair or a city fair. But I find that those are normally not in places that are conducive to having full Klingon gear on. So TOS is normally how you want to do those.
Right, and usually they're at the wrong time of year where, here in Pleasant Hill where I actually live, we do a Cass County Fair the middle of July, and there's no way you're going to get me in full Klingon gear trying to, you know, be in a parade or stand out at the fairgrounds for any amount of time in 90 to 100 degree heat.
Yeah, right, and 100% humidity. Not going to happen.
Exactly. However, with the Ottawa holiday Christmas parade, you know, it's the right time of year. You don't mind wearing a bunch of, you don't mind wearing your uniform and all your gear because, one, probably need it to stay warm.
Okay, so if that's kind of a wrap for tonight's podcast, I'd like to thank our guests, Lord Vampire and Marquis, both of the CAG Marine Division. Gentlemen, I thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening tonight. We would love to hear from you guys. You can contact us through email. Just send it to podcast@cag.org. Or we're also on Twitter @CAGPodcast. If you're hosting or just watching the premiere of Star Trek Discovery, take a picture of yourself in costume and from the TV, or just in front of the TV, and throw out the hashtag Team Klingon or Klingon Fan Empire. And is also the birthday of Chris Obi. He plays Kuvma. I'm probably butchering that. It's his birthday, the premiere of Star Trek Discovery. So if you happen to have a party hat kicking around, or maybe some candles and a cupcake or something, and throw him out a happy birthday and throw on the hashtag King of the Bloody Klingons. Because as we know, everything is better with Klingons. And another reason to stay in contact with us is that in the coming weeks, we will be doing reviews of Star Trek Discovery episodes as they come out. So please drop us a
line on Twitter or through email, or even just throw it up onto the Facebook page, and we keep track of that too, and just tell us what you think of the new Star Trek, and maybe we'll feature some of your comments in some of those episodes. Thank you for listening, and have yourself a great night.